Our reading today is from Isaiah chapter 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense, and he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of the jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So ends today's reading.
So Isaiah calls to us, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong and do not fear. All throughout, you also hear these images of the ways in which the world will be transformed. This season, we have been talking about incarnation a little bit differently. We've been reading along with the work of the Franciscan monk and theologian Richard Rohr, the universal Christ, talking a little bit more about how incarnation might not just be good news about the Jesus story, but about the story of all creation, that indeed the rocks, hills, and plains, and fields, and floods will also be involved in this good news. Speaking of, class will still be held after a little potluck time today. So get fed, and then we'll meet upstairs for that class. One of Rohr's most convicting sentences, one that flows through almost all of his work, not just this one book, is this: God loves things by becoming them. God loves things by becoming them. A far cry from a lot of times when we think that we've heard theologies where this whole world or our whole bodies get kind of used up. No, God comes and loves things by becoming them. In this season in which we await the incarnation, the coming of God to live in and with us in the flesh, this is profoundly good news. As the Gospel of John says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. We are becoming Christ. Sometimes we have thought of this as mostly a story about a small part of creation becoming God. Only that one person of Jesus of Nazareth in Bethlehem thousands of years ago. But Rohr's reminder changes that. God has changed one part of creation into God, but not that God has just been in that one part, but that God has come to dwell in all creation through this story of Jesus Christ. If we have vision to see, then, we may see the light and the presence of Christ in everyone and in everything. It's not easy. I don't know about you, but I, like, on purpose went to a Target on a Saturday 10 days before Christmas yesterday. It's not an easy practice. But it is there for us. In class, we've been talking about the difference between seeing and recognizing. We might see people all the time, but do we recognize the Christ within them? Oftentimes, when we find this presence of Christ, it is in the tenderness of times of sorrow as much as it is in the celebration of joy. Because indeed, those are all part of our human story. The challenge then to us is to understand God's love enough that we allow that love to be part of God becoming us. In the words of Isaac Watts's Joy to the World, the question is, will we repeat the sounding joy? Are we an echo of that story of Jesus, of the incarnation? Are we part, then, of the incarnation? Because being transformed like this, seeing the holiness within ourselves and within others, it needs to be contagious. We need to share that with one another. We need to share it so that more and more people experience that love of God. So we show it in our being with each other and in our stories and our songs of this season. Each year in our Christmas pageant, we make it real by making characters of ancient time, flesh and blood before our eyes, and we look to our children to show us what it's like when a new generation sees that light of God refracted and reflected in some new way. It's always good, because they always come up with at least one or two characters that, you know, if you read the Gospels, do not make an appearance. Although the adults have been doing that for a long time, too. Where did that little drummer boy come from? They did not have a whole bunch of snare drums in Judea at that time. But they find new characters, and in those new characters, we see how they are living out this truth. That we see the experience of the incarnation and Christ in everyone and everything, even in a drummer boy, around a baby for some reason. This year, the story and the songs are a little different. I think you all are pretty accustomed to this, but I don't know if you know this, but Laura Rodas writes a new Christmas pageant every year. She's headed for MVP of Christian education. And so the stories and the songs and the characters are going to be really different this year. One of the things I love about that is that it shows us that this work of the Christmas story is to help us see the Christ in everyone, in each character. And you can do this with all art, all performance, by the way. I was reminded this week of the Christian writer and theologian Madeleine L'Engle, who wrote this. There is nothing so secular that it cannot be sacred. And that is one of the deepest messages of the incarnation. Nothing so secular that it cannot be sacred. That's why we come and share our whole lives here. Not just Sunday morning, not just sitting in a pew. But when we go downstairs and eat that potluck meal today, that will also be the incarnation. One of my favorite parts. And when we go home, incarnation. When we sing the songs that have a lot to do with Jesus, incarnation. And the songs that have very little to do about Jesus for this season, also incarnation. Our task from age to age and generation to generation is to find a way to tell our stories again and new, because in their very humanity there is the invitation and fulfillment to strengthen the weak hands and say again, be strong and do not fear, for there is no story that is so far from our experience that it could be far from God. because God is with us, is becoming us in love, and we are becoming more beloved. And so thanks be to God for all of our generations this day, for the ways in which God moves in and through them to help us see in a new way the Word made flesh. Amen.